Psalm 86 tonight. Felt very strange being home on a Sunday morning, and been a long time since that's happened. Probably since we had little sick people, and every now and then Sarah and I would switch out or something like that. I would probably usually come Sunday morning, you would stay home, and then maybe Sunday night if something like that. But certainly not used to being home. Kind of felt like a Saturday after a while. We started doing chores and stuff, so good to be in church, done doing chores. Psalm 86, we're going to actually read the whole entire passage. Psalm 86, I've been sitting for a little bit. Why don't you stand as we read the passage. If you can't stand, that's okay. Grandpa, hey, you can sit down if you want. All right, okay. All right, I'll read fast. We're going to read it three times through so you understand what we're... No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 86, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works? All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me for a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, shall hope in me and comforted me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you bless it as we study this passage out. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal yourself and help your presence to be felt here, Lord. And God, that we would know that you're speaking to us. Lord, we desire to see you as who you are. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. As we study this passage, we're going to see there's only really two points in this passage as we're going to draw. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of points, but two main points I want to look at tonight. This message is broken up into two. The first point is going to be humanity, and then the second point is going to be divinity. Those are two words that, again, unless we're studying Bible or unless we're studying the Scriptures, or those are not maybe normal terms that we would use in our everyday common speaking. The word humanity means particular nature of man, by which he is distinguished from other beings. You know, there's a difference between a man and an animal. God created them differently. A man has something that will last for eternity, but an animal does not. Although an animal has flesh, so does man. Animal has a spirit, so does man. But it doesn't have a soul. Doesn't have a soul. And although we aren't mean to animals or we shouldn't mistreat them, we do treat them differently. There's a definite distinction between man and animal. There's a definite distinction between humanity and everything else God created. We have a free will and are able to exercise that. You know, the trees don't say, you know what, today I'm not going to wave in the wind. They can't say that. The tree doesn't say, well, I'm done bearing fruit. I'm past that. Not unless a disease or some sort of problem comes to it. The birds don't say, I'm not going to fly or I'm not going to sing for the Lord today. No, that's just what they do. But you and I have been given the opportunity to have free will. And just like tonight, you got in your car, you maybe had to find your car, and when you found it, you started it, and it took a long time to warm up, and you traveled here, and you chose to do that. No one made you do that. No one made you come and worship the Lord tonight. Even in the song leading, as we opened up the books, and although we were on the page, you chose to sing the songs. Man is peculiar in itself. It's different than other creatures that God has made. And in that, there's a humanity about us. And we look at that and say, oh, what a strong suit. And sometimes I wonder, man, it sure would be a lot easier if I was just forced to do right. Forced to act in a way that pleases the Lord. But God has given us this ability. Now, the writer of Psalm 86 is David himself, King David. The man after God's own heart, but also the man of war. The anointed king, the throne by which Christ would establish his kingdom. This is, as we read this, a prayer. I don't know what. I've read this passage a lot of times this past week. In preparation for tonight's message, I have some notes down, but I really just read over the passage over and over again. And this morning it was, I don't know, 6:15, 6:30, maybe 6 o'clock, sitting there in my chair at night. And I said these very things to the Lord. I had trouble when I got to verse 2, preserve my soul for I am holy. I had to tell the Lord I wasn't. And we have this humanity about Psalm 86. That although man has this distinct nature that's different than any other creature, sometimes I'm not sure if that's any better. In verse, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. Why? Because I'm poor and needy. Point number one is man is poor and needy. Say, I'm not poor and needy. You should see what I drive. You should see where I live. I don't need anything. My fridge is full. The checking account is loaded. We got a savings account, a 401k. I'm healthy. I have no needs. But that's not what it's talking about. He says, bow down thine ear, O Lord. That, because let's remember who's talking here. Who's talking? Whose prayer is this? This is King David. Tell me what he needed. Food? He had an army, a disposable army that he could send and go do whatever it is that he wanted them to do, whether it was right or not. They would do whatever he said. We saw that with Bathsheba's husband. Hey, I want you all to line up and then take a step back so that man dies. And they do that. Say, that's wrong. Yes, he has an army. He's allowed, he governs it however he wants. He lives in the nicest. He has the greatest. So we read the very first verse, and he's calling out to God, and he says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. So what did he need? Materials? Resources? Needy of what? He was needy of God Himself. He was needy of the very presence of the Lord. He's asking God in verse 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me." Hey, if I were to talk with Chase, I would have to be in a close proximity. We don't live far away. I mean, I'm trying to think of maybe who lives closer. Maybe Mr. Seatman himself. We're about neighbors. Out this way. We're about as close as you can get. I mean, we're one street away. And for us to have a conversation, even though he's speaking at his house, I can't hear him. Well, I have to be in a proximity. And that's kind of what David is saying here. God, I need you close right now. I'm needy. The king. The king, the man after God's own heart. Here we see this revealing of his humanity. He was needy of the Lord. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. His son, Solomon, says very similar words. In 1 Kings 3:7, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." He's saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like that's what David's like right here. God, I don't know what I'm doing. He knows how to wield a sword. He knows how to tend sheep. He knows how to play music. He knows how to do all of these things. He has every resource at his disposal. But that's not what he's asking for. Hey, can I tell you that even the best that this world has to offer, that is not going to satisfy? There is going to be times in your life when all the money in the world, when all the health, when all the nicest of cars and nicest of materials will not be enough. God, I need you. And here's an attitude that is almost foreign to the American. To be poor and needy. Our poorest, physically poorest people that live in our country are wealthier than a majority of the world. And that thought has transpired into the church. I don't need anything. If I need it, I know where to go. When I get into a hard time, I know what I can do. When was the last time you cried out to God like this? God, I am poor and needy. Here we see this unfolding of humanity, to which, coming from the voice and heart of one that we would recognize maybe has it all together. He's the king. The king of God's chosen people. There's no greater king in the world at this time. King David. And he begins his prayer with, "I am poor and needy." If King David is praying that "I am poor and needy," if his son Solomon is saying, "I don't know how to go out or come in," and then somewhere in my life I feel like I have it all together, I think I'm lying to myself. Lord, help us to never get to the place where we don't feel poor and needy of the Lord. That we ever get to the place where we don't need God anymore. That's a dangerous thing. Can I tell you, we know well how to handle certain situations. And if you're in it long enough, you know responses. This is how you answer. This is how you do. This is the process by which it goes. I don't care how old you are. Whether you're 10, 9, 7, 8, 9. Got it. You said yes twice. All right. Whether you're 9 or... I don't know, Grandpa. Hey, Mrs. K. Not 9. All right. There's a 9 in there. No. Yeah. May we always stay poor and needy. God, I need you. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. He wasn't calling in counselors. He wasn't calling in his best friend. He wasn't calling in one of his wives. He wasn't calling in the captain of his army. He wasn't calling in the priest. He wasn't calling in the prophet. He wanted God's ear. Humanity. In verse 2, he says this, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." Verse 4, "Rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Who's saying this? King David. Kings aren't servants. Kings have servants, but kings are not servants. But David recognizes that he serves God himself. And no matter how high you might get in your world, you're still a servant. A servant of God. And we're never higher than God. And sometimes we get thinking that we got God figured out. And we got God in our hand rather than us being in His. We did some chores at the house today and cleaned up the basement a little bit. And we have a game closet. Anybody have a game closet? We have a game closet. We love games. I think we have like 4 or 5 chess boards, chess games. You don't need 4 or 5 chess games. So we thinned out that. And you know, the pieces do the will of the one that's in charge. And sometimes we think that we're in charge. King David recognizes that I'm just a servant. What do servants do? The other night we went out for dinner. Man, it was a great dinner. Had some Chinese food, but it was noodles, and man, it was so good. The person keeps coming over. "What can I get for you?" They brought over bottles of water, nice big glass bottles, and we're drinking cold water. And, "Can I get you anything else? Do you need some utensils? Can we do that?" And then they made us food. They make you food. They don't even have to go in the kitchen, and they bring it right to you. They're serving you. They're giving to you. Are we serving God? This is the King. And here in this, what are servants? Servants are givers. Say, servants are poor. Servants give of themselves. Say, "I'm not a servant." We're all servants. Servants of somebody. Bible warns us, hey, don't be a servant of sin. You're going to serve something. Romans. You're going to serve something. You're either going to serve yourself, or you're going to serve sin, the pleasures of your flesh, or you're going to serve God. We'll serve somebody. "No, I'm my own boss." You're a servant of the flesh. We will serve something. We will always serve something. In verse 3 of Psalm 86. Psalm 86, look at verse 3. "Pastor, I was excited. You said 2 points and you keep... I don't know. You haven't gotten to the second point yet." Psalm 86 in verse 3. "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." The word's not in here, but it is inferred. In Psalm 86 in verse 3, be merciful unto me. Mercy is required or asked for when we have offended. If I get pulled over by the police officer, know what I'm asking for? Mercy. Why? Because I'm guilty. Here we see more of the humanity of David, his nature. But not just David's nature, yours and mine. Our nature is revealed in this passage. We are poor and needy, we are servants, and we're also offenders. Offenders. Who needs mercy? Those that have offended. In Romans chapter 3, hold your place in Psalm 86, but look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Sometimes we forget, I don't know, sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And if King David is making these remarks about himself, and these are the very natures of man. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Know what that tells me? We have all sinned in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all offenders against God. We've broken His laws. And therefore, He's asking for mercy. Only those offenders ask for mercy. I don't make a habit of finding myself in a courtroom pleading with the judge for mercy. Why? Because I don't do things to merit me in that situation. But David is saying, God, would you be merciful unto me? Why is he saying that? Because he knows within his heart, daily, it says in verse 3 of Psalm 86, daily he offends. Offends others. Can I say, I think we give more attention to making right with others than we do making right with God. Because I can walk up to Chase, and if I said something wrong, and I do that, and I didn't handle a situation right, I can go to Chase and say, Chase, I'm sorry for handling that wrong. And we can be good now. And we're getting good at being forgiving and forgiving others. Asking for forgiveness. But that's secondary. We need to be good at making right with the Lord. Our offense isn't just against man, but what is David asking for? He's asking for mercy to God. When was the last time we pleaded? What does it say in verse 3? My soul unto be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 86 in verse 3. Daily, it's not just, Lord, forgive me of the sins that I've committed today, and then we move on. He's pleading with the Lord for mercy. Why? Because he sees himself as a sinner, an offense to God. And I think we've gotten to the place where we fail to consider our sin against God. We're quick to help our children make right with the offended sibling, or we're quick to make our children make right with us. And we teach this bad pattern or bad habit that we're the most important thing. That just as long as you're good with man, you're good. Can I tell you, sometimes you're not going to be good with man. It's better to be good with God. And when there's an offense, yes, you ought to make right with man. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, more importantly, are we begging God for mercy? We're offenders. In our humanity, what are we? Well, we're a mess, honestly. We're poor and needy. We're servants. We're offenders. And lastly, Psalm 7. Verse 7 of Proverbs. Let me try that again. Psalm 86 and verse 7. Psalm 86 and verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee. Or trouble. Trouble. Proverbs 29:15 warns us. Turn there. Proverbs 29:15. When left to ourselves, what do we find? Trouble. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What happens when a child is left alone? Trouble. That's what happens. Yeah, them kids. You're a child of God. When you're left alone, you get in trouble too. And here we have the King of Israel opening up his heart. I don't know if I could ever write something like this public. I don't know how we have Psalm 86 in our hands. Because these are very personal things. He says in verse 7, in the day of my trouble, you know what that says? I got myself in trouble. I was left alone. I chose wrong. Trouble. Sometimes we'll go out and leave the kids home and come back, and our first question is, was there any trouble? Why? Because parents were away. Was everybody good? Here we see the man after God's own heart struggling with what? Trouble. We put ourselves in trouble. There's a second part to this passage. First we saw the humanity, now we'll see the divinity. What is divinity? That means being divine, the nature of God. And God has, just like man, has certain attributes. Man's attributes aren't very becoming, can I say? We look around and we try and dress it up. People have made billions of dollars in trying to make humanity feel good about itself. You walk into, I don't even know what department stores are still around. Sears is gone, right? Macy's? Is Macy's still around? Okay, you walk into Macy's. What's the first thing that you, if you're in the mall and you walk into Macy's, what are you bombarded with? Makeup and smelly stuff. Why? Because they want to cover up your sin. They want to cover up the flesh. They want you to feel good about yourself. Come on in here. Hey, look at these new shoes. Look at this new outfit. Oh, you'll look great in this. Let's hide the humanity. Let's cover it up. Let's pretend it's not there. Now, I'm not saying that you walk around with a burlap sack and, you know, torn up shoes and that you don't wash yourself. I'm in favor of personal hygiene. But the world is trying really hard to cover up our humanity. Why? Because I don't wanna be an offender. That makes me feel bad about myself. And when you feel bad about yourself, you don't buy stuff. I don't want to be an offense to God. I don't want to be anybody's servant. I don't want to reveal that I'm poor and needy. I don't want to be in trouble. I want to think that I'm all set. I want to be divine. I want to walk in with new clothes. I want everyone to tell me, did you get your hair done today? You look lovely. We spend an exorbitant amount of money trying to hide our humanity. And David is just open and honest with it. To which then there's a response of God's divine nature in this passage. See, when we get honest with who we are, God makes His presence known. And He reveals Himself for who He is. In Psalm 86, there's no games. In Psalm 86, there's no game of Christianity. There's no, hey, I'm better than I'm making it appear. No, the King of Israel, God's chosen people, has opened Himself and revealed Himself to God Himself. To which then God responds and reveals Himself. In verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. As David now is crying out to God and revealing himself, David is now leaning not upon his own strength, but upon God. And as David is needy, God becomes his sustainer. He's able to bear support, to be the pillar, to keep from falling, to keep alive. If I'm poor and needy, God will fulfill that role. He'll fulfill that role. But He won't be our sustainer if we tell God, I don't need you. God's amazing in His way with man. I don't need you. All right. How many times have you gone against what God has said and God allows it? Has that ever happened? Yes. He allows you to choose to go against Him. God, I don't need you. All right, I'll be here when you're ready. Isn't that the way He works? He allows us to go against it. But when we call out to Him and say, God, I need your help. I'm poor and needy. He says, I'm right here for you. I will sustain you. I will be all that you need. I will provide. He doesn't just provide for us. He provides Himself for us. When Abraham goes up with Isaac up to the mount, what does he say? God will provide Himself a lamb. God, I need a Savior. All right, I will provide that. I will be that to you. God, I'm poor and needy. All right, I will be that to you. Look at Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's both parts, spiritual and physical. The righteous. When we come to the Lord and say, God, I need you, He says, I'm right here. I will sustain you. I will meet those needs. But our problem is that we think we can handle it. Our problem is that we tell God we don't need Him. Our problem is we never apply Psalm 86. That this would never be our prayer. We would never say anything like this to God. We would never beg God's ear to hear us. We would never reveal that I'm poor and needy. Therefore, He will never be our sustainer. But when we're open and honest with our humanity, all of a sudden He becomes divine. And He's able to meet not physical needs, but our spiritual needs. In verse 3, point number 2. Okay, so we have 2 points of our message. First point is humanity. We've exercised that. We've gone over that. There were 4 points in there. Point number two is now the divinity. God and His nature. I am poor and needy, He becomes my sustainer. In verse 3, it says this, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily. Look at verse 5, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in what? Mercy. Verse 13, for great is Thy mercy. God in His divine nature, what is He in His very nature, is merciful. The ability to pardon. Not giving us what we deserve. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Again, keeping your place in Psalm 86. If you've turned already, don't worry. We will come back. Numbers chapter 14. And verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? The Lord was about done with it. And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed unto them, among them? I wonder if God sits on His throne and looks down on in my world and says, how long? What? I wonder if He ever gets frustrated with me. I wonder if He ever gets frustrated with you. They don't believe me. I've shown them time and time and time again. And I wonder if He gets frustrated. I wonder if He gets frustrated with you and I. He asked Moses. He's having a conversation with Moses. In verse 15, now if thou shalt, Moses responds. He says, now if thou shalt kill this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which He sware unto them, therefore He has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. He says, God, you could show forth your power and you could wipe them all out. But I think it'd even be more powerful if you work with them. Can I tell you there's going to be a temptation in our life to quit when it gets hard? It's just easier if I quit. Yeah, but God would get a lot less glory. In verse 17, now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. For thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. God in His very nature is merciful. And He is willing and does abundantly pardon us, the offenders. He lets us go free. I told you last week it was my... I'm new to this. Last week was my first... time at the Buffalo Federal Prison. I don't know if I had the ability to pardon, would I? Say, why not? There's a reason they're in prison. There's some guys in blue jumpsuits. Those are the guys that I think just mess up paperwork. And there's some guys in orange jumpsuits. I don't know what they did. Then there's the guys in the red those guys get saved too, but they've done something to merit the highest level offender in a federal prison. You and I are the highest level offenders. And God says, pardoned. Only God can do something like that. Knowing everything about our humanity and then exercise His divinity in His mercy. God is a sustainer. He is merciful. Look at back at Psalm 86 and verse 5. Some of you, this was the first time in about 24 hours you've been warm. Say, this is nice. I can tell because some of your eyes are getting heavy. I'm sorry. I'll try and tell more stories and jump around a little bit. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous, and mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Not only is God merciful, not only is he our sustainer, but the Bible says this about him, that he's just good. Good. Last night we had Samantha and Lee over for dinner. So, oh, how nice. You know, Lindy and Skylar are just, our house is set up where they can just run in circles. And that's just what they did. They just kept running around, opening doors, closing doors, running around in circles. And Miss Samantha made Zambian food. And it was good. Very good. It brought joy to my very being eating it. And God, in his divine attribute, has something that I don't have. He's good. As we looked in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, no, he's good. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, it says this, For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. In Psalm 136 and verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God is shows forth benevolence and kindness. And he is good. There's nothing that God doesn't do that isn't good. Say, have you seen it outside? And it's good. He created the seasons and they were good. Say, it's cold. It all works together. What was it, Wednesday? It's supposed to be 40? Is that right? And all that snow will turn into water and replenish again my well. And God was good. Say, all this is for you? No. It's for all of us. Everything that he does is good. Sometimes at the time it doesn't feel good. And I know you can think of a circumstance or a situation and say, no, there's no good in that. God and his divinity is good. And everything he does is good. Not only is he good, look at verse 10 of Psalm 86. He's good, but he's also great. In verse 10 it says, For thou art great. What's better than good? Great. God is great. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. In verse 11. I love this verse. Exodus 15, 11. Exodus 15 is a song. It's like a prayer, but set to music. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who? Who's like him? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. God is great. Not only is he good, but he does things that no one else can do. He opens up the Red Sea, and they walk across. And then he closes it on the enemies of Israel. He's great. He makes the sun come up every single day. I read something yesterday, I think it was. Light in 1 second can travel around the earth at the speed of light, travels around the earth in 1 second 7.5 times. That's quick. So how does that, God in his greatness? Not only does God do good things, but he does great things. Lastly, Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. In all of his greatness, if he but looked away for a moment, we would cease to exist. There's his greatness. But in the midst of that, perfectly blended in that, is another word. Compassion. He's compassion. Full of compassion. What is that? That's patience, tenderness, loving. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I don't respond right. Sometimes I get annoyed, and sometimes I don't handle situations right, and I have to go back and apologize. The Lord never has to apologize. He never has to come and say, "Hey, Nick, I don't know what I was thinking there. I just didn't handle that right. I'm sorry." No, he's loving. Always loving. And is very perfect and divine nature. So we put these 2 points together. Man and his humanity. Although we try and make it look right, and although we dress it up and we do a lot of things to kind of cover up our humanity, the truth of the matter is, according to the Word of God in Psalm 86, we see who we really are. We're poor and needy. We're servants. We're trouble. We're offenders. And in all of that, there's a response. In our poor and neediness, he's our sustainer. In our servitude, he's compassionate. Say, how do those two things go together? The greatest of servants are loved servants. Because they are no longer acting by duty, but they're acting in love. And he gives us this great amount of compassion and love. Making me, strangely enough, he takes that humanity and he makes it divine. He takes an offender and he gives him mercy. He pardons me. Everything wrong with me, he has a divine response. And in my trouble, not only is he good, he's great. Last verse, Joel chapter 2. Joel. So where's Joel? Old Testament, right before Amos. I don't know if that helps you. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me. I'll give you a minute. Hold on. Oh, give me a chance to get a drink. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for why? For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Hey, bring your humanity to God and allow Him to just bestow His divinity upon you. And undo all of your humanity. And take all the... Look at verse 12. We bring what? We bring a torn apart individual, and what happens? God then pours into that individual His mercy and His grace. But we can never have the filling without the emptying. I ask you tonight that maybe you go home, you revisit Psalm 86, and you make it personal. You read it a couple times, and God, yes, that's me. And will you do for me what you did for David? Lord, I am poor and needy, and what do I need? I don't need more stuff. I don't need to feel good about myself. I just need You. In my trouble, I don't need any more trouble. God, will You deliver me from my trouble and respond in Your goodness and greatness? God, I'm an offender. I'm a mess. I've sinned from one end to the next. I beg of You for Your mercy. Will You pardon me? Will You show me Your compassion as I try and serve You? Have you ever tried to serve the Lord and made a mess of it? That's where His compassion comes in. See, in our nature, we write people off. You failed. You're done. And God says, hey, let's try it again. In our exposure of our humanity, we see God's divine nature working and undoing it all. To which only can be described as wonderful and beautiful. And God is just far greater than what we deserve. Let's all stand.